Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, let's go to work. Alongside Bart Scott, I'm Joe Fortenball filling in for Alan Hahn. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We've been taking your calls all day. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on Kyler Murray, the Arizona Cardinals, and the contract that includes a clause where Murray has to perform 4 hours of independent study per week. We'll talk about that more in a moment, but we're transitioning now to who other than Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. Another quarterback gets paid, so the attention eventually will shift to Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, and when the former league MVP will get his big-time money. Recently, Mike Sando from The Athletic put together an article on quarterback tiers, the tier one quarterbacks in the NFL, the tier two quarterbacks. He essentially talked to a lot of NFL coaches, coordinators, scouts, people in the know, got their opinions, ranked the quarterbacks, and then included a lot of quotes. Well, the story, or at least the part of the story that's making news, Bart, is the part about Lamar Jackson and what was said by an anonymous offensive coordinator in the National Football League. Here's what he had to say about Lamar Jackson and whether or not he was a tier one quarterback. Quote, "I don't give an expletive if he wins the league MVP 12 times. I don't think he'll ever be one as a quarterback," end quote. And when he says, "I don't think he'll ever be one as a quarterback," that means a tier one quarterback in the National Football League, an anonymous offensive coordinator telling Mike Sando. Your thoughts on that? Is there no chance that could ever happen for Lamar Jackson?
Well, he's been the MVP of the league, so you can say whatever you want. He hasn't had the opportunity like a lot of the guys that we consider tremendous throwers. Who do we consider a tremendous thrower to football, right? Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Justin Herbert. How many people do we just think like, oh, man, they are amazing? Joe Burrow, right? Like, I mean, this is a group activity. Whoever wants to chime in, we can say who do we think. And one thing I would tell you that is very common with every single one of the people that we just named, they have a top 10 or 15 receiver. Name me a top 10 receiver that Lamar Jackson has ever played with. I mean, what are we talking about? We just talk about Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. We talk about Mecole Hardman. Like, we talk about Sammy Watkins. When you go over there, you talk about Matthew Stafford. You talk about Cooper Kupp. You talk about Allen Robinson. We talking about Rashad Bateman in year two? Last year, like, what are we talking about? This guy does more with less than anybody. Like, give him some guys that's wide ass open and then tell me that he can't be a tier one.
What more do you want from me?
That's all Lamar got to say. Like, I put the team on my back, lost all three of my running backs, and had the team leading the division before you got hurt. What more can you do? I don't care how you throw it. You know, like, Phillip Rivers had a slingshot, but he still got it done. I can care less about what this quarter. This is what I wish people would do. Because anybody know me, I'm a habitual line stepper. But guess what? I'll say it to your face. So why don't you put your name on it, anonymous man? Are you afraid that we're going to challenge your resume? You see how the hell you got your job? Who made a call for you? What your qualifications are? See, that's what I'm saying. So to me, I'm sucker free. I can't deal with some dude that's want to hide behind some anonymous shield. Put your name on it. Put your face on it. Were you afraid of the smoke that's going to come back for you? Then keep your damn mouth shut.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How much of this, just to play devil's advocate, because you mentioned things like Patrick Mahomes, a lot of these guys having tier one wide receivers, elite people they can throw it to. How much of that is the quarterback making the receiver the better player because of how good he is, and how much of it maybe is Jackson not elevating the players around him? Not saying I agree with it, but just presenting the devil's advocate case here.
He had Hollywood Brown at 1,100 yards, and he probably dropped 500 yards of yardage. Like, what the hell are we talking about? Like, what are we talking about? Hollywood, that's why I'm laughing at Hollywood. Like, oh, I can't play in the system. Dude, you had 1,100 yards receiving. And Lamar didn't, and he missed four games. If you pick the ones up, remember the one game he dropped like 300 yards for show. And Lamar kept going back to him. So tell me that. Tell me, when can we just get a guy like Ja'Marr Chase where every – I mean, hell, I'll take Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd. That would be his number one receiver. Now he wouldn't even get to T. Higgins.
So what are you thinking then? Okay, so two-parter. I'll start with this. Where does all this hate continue to come from when it comes to Lamar Jackson? I mean, he's shown on a level that a lot of these guys who vote for MVP voted for him 1 year. He's put up numbers. He's been to the playoffs. He's won playoff games. If he wins a Super Bowl, I'd imagine we're not having this conversation. If he has more consistent success in the postseason, I'd imagine we're not having this conversation. But he has had some success. He went to Tennessee and beat Tennessee a couple years back in the postseason. So it's not like Kyler Murray where he's never won a playoff game. He's been there multiple times.
And he's been considered the best player.
What is the reason why people continue to dog him? Is it just because he plays the game differently than what we're accustomed to, and as a result, it makes us uncomfortable?
It's that, and I think it's a slight racial undertone under there. It's how he carries himself, right? It, you know, it's the swag he carries himself with. It's the braids. It's everything, right? Everything comes in. Sometimes we have unknown bias. Right, we didn't say anything about Phillip Rivers, his ugly shot put delivery. Yeah, he was putting up yards, but hell, he had arguably Antonio Gates, Hall of Fame, David Balson jacked up on Mountain Dew out there. You know what I mean? this dude had weapons, man. Like, this dude makes it. I mean, he got Mark Andrews, and he does magic with it. Like, this dude has a 71% win percentage, second only to Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. What are we saying? That's what I don't get, man. This dude's throwing to Duvernay. I ask anybody that's listening to me right now, anybody that's not in Baltimore, tell me Duvernay's first name. I promise you, anybody in here that's not from Baltimore, tell me without going to Google and tell me what his first name is.
It's Devin.
Really? Really?
I'm not what did he go to, what did he go to your look it up.
What did he go to your college?
No, just an avid NFL fan.
Okay, no, you're probably watching Get Up right now and saw Duvernay fall over and catch one of his passes in his highlight.
What if he goes out this year, is there anything he can do this year to shut people up short of winning the Super Bowl? Could he do something that if he makes it to the AFC Championship game with the Ravens, but say they come up short to the Chiefs, the Chargers, maybe it's the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson. Say he gets to the Super Bowl like Joe Burrow did, but he comes up short against the Rams, the Niners, one of the teams in the NFC, obviously, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Does that shut people up? Does it give Baltimore the opportunity to finally go out and get him paid? Because that's another part of this conversation, too, is that people are wondering, how is everyone else around the NFL continuing to get paid, but the Ravens and Jackson can't figure it out? Is it because he's his own agent? You think that's what's complicating it?
No, because Richard Sherman is his own agent. Like, I think Jimmy Butler's his own agent. It has nothing to do with that. The market has set the price. The issue is does his employee agree with what his assessment is? He's saying, I'm better than Kyler Murray. I need to be paid more than Kyler Murray. Or I'm just as good as Deshaun Watson. I need to be paid more than Deshaun Watson. I don't think he's better than Deshaun Watson, but you know the market dictates. My resume says that I should be the highest paid player because I'm the next one up. We know that Joe Burrow and Herbert's next year is going to be eligible, and they're probably going to take it even higher. Right, so like he's saying, I'm just as good as all those guys. I got a 71% win percentage. It's not because you guys are surrounding me with these juggernauts. I mean, we win a unique way. And, yeah, I can have more yards passing, but the offense doesn't dictate that. Right? I'm sure his offense at Louisville, I'm sure he threw the ball a lot more. Right? When you look at it, when you look at where he is now, you know, he's throwing for, 3,000 yards, I think, is the most he's ever thrown for. Something like that, 3,000. But the dude is rushed for 1,000. That's 4,000 yards.
Yeah, he's rushing for 1,000 every year.
That's all we want to talk about, all-purpose yards. That's all-purpose for your ass. Like, what are we talking about? And you are bludgeoning people. Like, did you see – did he not look like an elite quarterback when he out-dueled Baker Mayfield on Monday Night Football, where he did everything, when he came out of the porta potty with wet wipes sticking out his ass, and he came back and won on 4th and 1? Are you kidding me? 4th and 1 from the porta potty. What are we talking about?
Let's go to Pete in Columbus. Pete, thanks for waiting on hold. We appreciate it. The Lamar Jackson disrespect, especially in light of the Kyler Murray contract, an anonymous offensive coordinator saying it doesn't matter if he wins 12 MVPs, he's never going to be a tier one quarterback. What are your thoughts?
You know, man, hey, thanks for taking my call. And I don't know, man, I feel like he's like kind of like the modern day Michael Vick in the sense that he just gets disrespected. He's just been a rusher since college, but they disrespect his arm because they see, I mean, quite frankly, they see a mobile quarterback and they just completely discount the arm. But he's better than Kyler Murray. He's better than Deshaun Watson. He was the best quarterback in the AFC before Joe Burrow. And I would even venture to say he's, if not better than Joe Burrow, because he's been around longer and he's proven he can win with literally nobody. And I will say, I thought it was David Duvernay, but that's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
See what I'm saying? Thank you.
Bart's point is confirmed. Point is confirmed. I mean, they're coming into this season as a team that people look at maybe somewhat suspiciously because of how they struggled last year, but let's not kid ourselves.
They lost a left tackle and their top three running backs the day before camp.
You lost Marcus Peters during that season. You lost, there was another, Marlon Humphrey got lost during the season. Only the New York Giants had more cumulative games lost due to injury than the Baltimore Ravens. And they still won 8 games.
And all they had to do was
Lamar Jackson
one game.
Missing a bust down the season.
They were one, like, play from beating, with the backup from beating Aaron Rodgers. Like, come on, son. Like, what are we talking about? Like, it's like blasphemy to me. It's like, it's, you know, I don't understand, man. Like, I still got that out there. Name me, so now that Hollywood's Brown is gone, name me somebody other than Duvernay and somebody that's other than Bateman that's even a receiver on the roster.
Well, you could talk, not a receiver, but obviously Mark Andrews at tight end. Him Lamar's got him at a level of one of the best tight ends in the entire league, right?
Yes.
Like, we talked about that point earlier.
Who else he got to throw to? You know it's going to him. He's still getting to him.
All right, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. Looking around the National Football League and the disrespect that's being handed out, and we've been talking about Lamar Jackson, but the San Francisco 49ers, there's some interesting commentary regarding the potential future quarterback. Should the team move to Jimmy Garoppolo to Trey Lance? There are some interesting thoughts about what it would be like to face Lance and the Niners. That's coming up in just a second. But first, we've got Bart Scott set to tell you about something I'm imagining. Bart, you got something you want to tell the people about?
Yeah, as soon as they listen, let them know how we're doing our production meeting as we speak. We're just waiting for the Zoom call to stroll up that nice little thing that I have
let's
to say.
Let's take everyone behind the scenes here, Renee. What happened?
Let's take them and show them how the secret sauce is made.
All right, so I was going to I transitioned to the other page, and I was going to slide over the read that Joe did initially on Progressive, and I was going to put it on there at the back end of his tease. But he went ahead and started doing it in the first place. So that's what ended up happening. So now we're just kind of, you know, just
we're in limbo.
Killing time.
So let's talk
about
Jimmy G.
Let's take people behind the scenes. Where should we be going next?
Well, yes.
Now we're going to be transitioning over to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Ah.
So
I've heard of him.
Yeah. I hope you have. I mean, he's this good looking quarterback out in San Francisco, and, you know, people are saying that he should be traded. Trey Lance needs to get a spot there.
From Chicago.
Something like that. I don't know where he's from. I just know he's a good-looking quarterback in San Francisco. What do you think about that, Bart?
What was the comment that was made on Lance and the Niners, facing the Niners, if Lance ends up as the starting quarterback?
So what was said was one NFL head coach whose team will be facing the San Francisco 49ers this year said that it would be like an early Christmas gift if the 49ers trade away Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, good luck with that, because listen, we've seen, to me, Trey Lance may not be as refined as a Thor, understanding coverages and being able to do those things. But one thing I do know is Kyle Shanahan has a very quarterback-friendly system. RPO simplifies the reads, and if it's not there, you count the box. If not, you hand it in the belly. If not, the linebacker step up, you pull it out, and you're able to get some type of slant or things behind. I know that he makes the run game better, and the run game was already deadly because when you have a quarterback that can run the football, that forces you to play 11 on 11. And also it controls the backside defensive end because he can't just come screaming down the line of scrimmage trying to make the tackle from behind. He has to get up the field, make sure you're giving it away, then retrace, which provides tremendous cutback lanes. And also the backside linebacker can't just run because you don't want to leave the backside defensive end being stuck by itself in space with a superior athlete that can get around him. And if he gets around him, he's 88 and out the gate. So now you're controlling two players, which allows you to go front side and unblock those guys and get to the next level because you can let them go saying that, hey, the run is going away anyway. So let me go get the backside linebacker and the front side safety. And this when you get these big, huge, explosive plays, which is why when you go to the Philadelphia Eagles, they led the league in rushing because they have a very similar quarterback in Jalen Hurts. So Trent Williams is the best left tackle in the game, and he's a guy that's going to elevate everybody. So Trey Lance adds something that we haven't seen from this San Francisco offense since Colin Kaepernick, and he was running for 300 yards in playoff games because they were playing 11-on-11. If you don't block the backside defensive end, it's actually 11-on-10. So it flip-flops that way, and that's the beauty of having a very mobile quarterback. We've seen Cam Newton succeed with that. We've seen Lamar Jackson succeed with that. We've seen Jalen Hurts, and I think Trey Lance is next in line. And although you can say, hey, this team was better with Jimmy G in a passing game, but the run game becomes so much dominant that you got to put 8 or 9 men in a box that he's going to be throwing to guys that are basically one-on-one and wide-ass open.
He's Bart Scott. I'm Joe Fortenball filling in for Alan Hahn. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. An unnamed coordinator or opposing coach, here we go again with the unnamed, saying it would be like Christmas to face the 49ers if Jimmy Garoppolo was gone and Trey Lance was the starting quarterback. How can you possibly know that about Trey Lance at this point? I can understand if you're not high on him, but how can you be that low on him? He started one game last year. He appeared in 6 total. He was a rookie. What rookie was good? Zach Wilson wasn't good last year. Trevor Lawrence wasn't all that good last year. Why would you be Justin so excited Fields. To face Trey Lance and the 49ers now, given the fact that you know so little about him? Is it that obvious that he's not going to be any good?
They thinking he's Jordan Love, that he's not prepared, that he doesn't have the football acumen to be able to address. Remember why Kyle Shanahan fell in love? Because remember, we thought the move was for mac and cheese. It was because Trevor Lawrence came up there and wowed them with his ability to recall and his intelligence. So that means that he's going to be able to pick up the system and know where the ball is supposed to go. He's somewhere like Doogie Howser, MD, or MacGyver. He's a baby genius. That's why they moved up and they said, you know what? We moved up for mac and cheese, but man, this guy just wowed us so much with his ability to retain knowledge after we tell him what he has to do. Remember how to make the calls. Remember who goes where with the checks. If you see cover 2, cover 3, cover 4, quarter, halves, all that good stuff. You know what I'm saying? Fire zone coverage. That's why he impressed him. So I don't think this is something where he won't be able to pick the system up, especially because this is the second year he's heard it. Will he struggle at times? Absolutely. But if they keep him with a tight package, he's going to be able to learn and flourish early and be able to expand that package later in the season, which makes them dangerous. Very, very dangerous. The only person that's happy is Con Air, a.k.a. A-Rhyme, because the one person he can't beat is Jimmy Damn G.
I'll tell you what, there's a bet I like regarding Trey Lance. Over under his rushing yards this year, 500.
Oh,
17
over.
Game season, he's going to be the starter. 500 rushing yards. They give it like this. Last year, he ran for 168 yards. He only appeared in 6 games. He started one of them. We're talking about 500 yards in what might be the scariest offense to defend when it comes to running the ball. All the misdirection with Kyle Shanahan, a quarterback that can run, a seemingly endless supply of running backs that you can plug in that can get yardage. Debo Samuel coming around with all the motion and misdirection. That's one thing. I figured there's going to be at least 2 or 3 breakout runs for TDs this year from way downtown because all that misdirection getting opposing defenses caught out of position. 500 yards to me does not seem like much for an athlete that has that much athleticism. Do you agree or disagree?
I give him 600, 700. That's pretty much Jalen Hurts had 700 yards last year. I think he's right on line with them right there with Jalen Hurts. He'll never catch Action Jackson. Action Jackson's going to be at like 1,000 like he always is. But the other guys, 700, that's nothing to sneeze at. And you talk about maybe being potentially the team's second leading rusher on the team.
Jonathan's in Louisville. Jonathan, we appreciate the phone call. Jimmy G, Trey Lance, and the Niners, what do you got?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I'm at the rock with Jimmy G, man. I say he's proved himself as a prolific passer and stuff, and he's made it to the Super Bowl. Came a throw away from making it to another one. So,
but here's the problem. But here's the problem if you're rocking with Jimmy. If you're rocking with Jimmy, then you're not rocking with Deebo Samuel and you're not rocking with Nick Bosa because they need that money to pay him because Deebo Samuel's having to hold in, not a hold out. So you got to understand, some promises probably was made. That's why he came, so he didn't want to be a distraction. But he's not stepping on that field without a contract. This guy's better. Everybody's got paid except for DK Metcalf and him. And they're arguably the two out of this class. Not trying to be disrespectful to Terry McLaurin, but, you know, Deebo Samuels put a team on his back last year. He was their best running back and best playmaker all together.
Not only that, when you're trading up and giving up three first-round picks in order to draft a guy, you can't sit him on the bench for two years.
Yeah.
You want to sit him for a year, that's fine. Let him develop. He went to North Dakota State. It's going to take time to learn the game at the NFL level. His last year in college, he only played in one game, and it was a showcase so that it was for the scouts. They didn't even have a season because of COVID. So you're talking about a guy who hasn't played ball in close to 2 years coming in. He's going to have to pick up the game at the NFL level. There's going to be a lot to learn. You already have a talented team. You ride with Garoppolo, who, to the caller's point, had been to a Super Bowl. That's fine. Let Trey Lance sit. Let him develop. Let him learn. There's nothing wrong with that. Kyle Shanahan's a smart coach. But you get to year two, you're going to find yourself in some trouble giving up three future first-round picks and not starting that guy because the best deal in all of sports is the rookie quarterback on the rookie contract. And if he can play at a franchise level, you now have money to spend elsewhere. Case in point, look at the Los Angeles Chargers. You got a franchise guy in Justin Herbert. He can play the position at a high level, so you can go spend money on J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack, and suddenly that defense that ranked 29th in points allowed last season probably going to get a lot better, am I right?
Absolutely, and that's the beauty of it. We watched Russell Wilson win on a championship deal. We watched young Ben Roethlisberger win on a championship deal.
Patty Mahomes.
Yeah, because your degree of difficulty is a lot higher because you have so much talent that you're surrounding a guy with so much talent that it's hard for him to fail. Right, we watched guys, Russell Wilson, after the Legion of Boom, and he took the money. We watched that team fall short a lot. We seen it in Dak Prescott, too. Before, you know, it was a luxury. You can get all kind of pieces. You can buy the car, and you can go ahead and get the rims. You can get the performance kit, the Hennessy performance kit. You can get all that stuff because you got the extra cheese to sit around because you got a discount on the most expensive commodity. Somebody got foreclosed on you. You were able to get a Ferrari, but now because you ain't have to pay so much for the Ferrari because you got it for bankruptcy, now you can go out and get the cool rims, put a kit on it.
Did you say the Hennessy performance kit or the Hemp performance kit?
The Hennessy.
Yeah.
No, Hennessy's crazy. They'll take your car and put 1,000 horsepower in it.
I love it. He's Bart Scott. I'm Joe Ford, bowling for Alabama.
That is a real place. I'm not talking about the drink, everybody. Hennessy Performance.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
No. Hennessy Performance is a real thing. They have their own car called the Hennessy. It's faster than the P1 McLaren, faster than a lot of the cars out there. Hennessy Performance.
I'm looking that up. That's Bart Scott.
In Texas.
I'm Joe Ford, bowling for Alan Hahn. This is Bart Hahn on ESPN Radio. Our final two-a-day segment here on ESPN Radio is coming up. The Los Angeles Rams, your defending champions. Do they have enough to repeat? Schedule, motivation, talent. We'll talk about that next. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
What more do you want from me?
The best of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Tuesday.
Mike in Reno.
Max, Adrian Peterson is a souped-up Frank Gore. Tom Brady's going to fall off a cliff. And I never thought I'd hear anything dumber than that. But congratulations, Max. Today you did it.
More KJM weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. This is ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days, the Los Angeles Rams.
This is one of those contracts when you see the news break. I'm glad he's playing. I love watching Aaron Donald play. To me, this puts them over the edge. They're going to win the Super Bowl.
When you start with Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford and especially Sean McVay coming back, they're certainly good enough to make another run.
I think Allen Robinson may be one of the sneakiest big moves this year. This man was going off 1,000-yard seasons in Chicago. The Rams right now are a clear favorite.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. He's Bart Scott. I'm Joe Fortenball in for Alan Hahn. This is Bart and Hahn here on ESPN Radio. Today is the day we conclude our two-a-day segment, getting set for everything NFL related for the 2022 season. And Bart, we're going to conclude with the Rams of Los Angeles, your defending Super Bowl champions. In Las Vegas right now, 11-1 to win the Super Bowl. That's tied for fourth best in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers. Matthew Stafford coming back, Sean McVay coming back as head coach, Aaron Donald coming back on the defensive line. They're loaded, absolutely loaded, but in order to repeat in the National Football League, you got to go through a hell of a lot. You got the bullseye on your back. You got a tough division in the West. So right now, what do you think the biggest obstacle is for the Rams in their quest to winning two in a row?
Success. I think success is definitely the biggest speed bump in their road back to the Super Bowl. And listen, I was very bold on them last year, and I picked them to win the Super Bowl like in March. We played the clip on Get Up or no First Take yesterday. When I was on about, hey, clip this, write this down. They're not just going to win and be better with Matthew Stafford. They're going to win the Super Bowl. So I've been bold on them, and I'm bold that they won't repeat as Super Bowl champions as well. And I don't think they're one of the better teams. They're one of the better teams. I don't think they're the best team in that division. And sometimes it's hard to be hungry when you're full. And you go out and you get Allen Robinson. Everybody, listen, he's from Detroit, right? So, you know, I'm from Detroit. I got mad love for what he represents and where he's from. And I'm happy that he's able to go with one of the best quarterbacks, definitely the best quarterback he's ever played with. Coming from Jacksonville, going to Chicago. But he's not that much of an upgrade from Robert Woods. Maybe talent-wise, he's slightly better, but what Robert Woods was and what he represented to that run game and all the dirty work that he did, and then his ability still to catch a football. So I'm saying, okay, that's still an upgrade, but not a lot. This team was very fortunate last year. They lost twice to Arizona, and then they beat him in the postseason. They struggled and lost a game against the 49ers, right? So they got in. They struggled, where I do agree that they're very better and much improved, is because Bobby Wagner can really patrol the second tier of that defense, which they struggle stopping a run. They have all these guys that can get to the passer, but you can kind of bully ball them a little bit, and that's what we witnessed for the majority of last season. Losing Von Miller is a big deal, because now you can slide your line to one side to try and take away him and Aaron Donald. What happened is, in the playoffs and postseason, when you try to slide the line, you either left Floyd by himself or you left Von Miller by himself, and those guys can win at a high percentage. Now you don't have anybody that's kind of opposite of Floyd, and you definitely don't have someone to really man and protect the blind side of Matthew Stafford, because Whitworth finally, you know, went to the mountaintop, and he retired on top after a Hall of Fame career at the age of 40. Those are big question marks in my mind, and because of that reason, I have to go with, like I said before, I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles have become the Tennessee Titans of the NFC, but I am very bold on the New Orleans Saints. I think they have the recipe and the personnel to go to the next level, and they're going to be a legitimate threat not only to the Tampa, but everybody in the NFC.
Lot to unpack there. Take me through that for a second. What are you predicting for Philadelphia and New Orleans? Are you predicting the division for Philadelphia? Do you think they get past Dallas?
I'm picking the division for both of those teams.
Listen, New Orleans gets past Tampa Bay in the South, huh?
Let me tell you something. New Orleans has only lost to Tampa how many times?
They own them. They got their number in a big way.
And who's the quarterback when they won those games? Trevor Siemian, like the Taysom Hill. Like, come on, man. Like now, Jameis
Drew Brees run, which Drew Brees, all due respect, Hall of Fame career, but he wasn't the same guy.
Yeah, he was done. He was barbecue chicken. He was done. So now Taysom Hill gets to go back and be who he was, right, and just be a gadget guy. Like Jameis Winston gets to come back, and he was 5-2 last year. He gets to be able to listen. No risky, no biscuit is out of his forte now. All he understands, he has to be efficient. And for all the people that say, "Oh, Jameis Winston's not a good quarterback," ask Mike Evans how good he is. Because Mike Evans went to like 5 Pro Bowls because Jameis Winston was hitting him with darts.
Jameis led the league in passing that final year in Tampa, over 5,000 yards.
Yeah, the problem was the turnovers. But also, you got to understand, we don't give Jameis credit for all the different coordinators and systems he had to play underneath when that organization was dysfunctional coming back from being a Super Bowl champion. You know, so like, listen, Jameis is still a very young quarterback. They have given him like weapons. Remember, Michael Thomas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Was Davante Adams. He was DeAndre Hopkins. He was the reigning baddest receiver in the league. That's why he was the first to $20 million per. Now, he's been hurt for 2 years, but he's still young. He's coming back. Olave, a great Robin.
Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry in the slot and Alvin Kamara. Come on, son. They still got Ramchek. Okay, they got to replace Armstead. I understand that, but you can't have everything. And, oh, boy, did this defense get a little bit – get a little bit of personality. Honey Badger replaces Marcus Williams, and they go out and get Marcus May. That would have been one of the higher paid safeties in the league if he hadn't tore his knee up. This team is reloaded. We already knew they had a championship caliber defense led by DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan. So listen, this is one of the most complete teams in all of football. And they're going to play. Yeah, they don't have Sean Payton. But then again, they still have the same system that they've always been playing. They got the same coordinators. So really nothing changes as far as we used to get them credit. Oh, man, he calls the plays. This the rhythm. Like, yeah, they got a new coordinator. He may know the plays, but the rhythm is off. They got the same coordinators.
Carmichael. One team we didn't mention in this breakdown of the NFC is the Arizona Cardinals. Bart likes the Eagles. Bart likes the Saints. We're talking about the Rams, who under Sean McVay, keep in mind, 11 wins per season they've averaged in his 5 years on the job. They've never had fewer than 9 wins in a season, 28-13 on the road in the regular season. For those in the back, 28-13 on the road in the regular season. But Bart's right. Sometimes it's tough to be hungry when you're full. And after that Super Bowl win, you got to wonder, how are they going to break from the gates, especially in a tough division that features the San Francisco 49ers and the aforementioned Cardinals. Speaking of which, Kyler Murray, the contract, $230 million as an extension, but there's a clause that says he has to give you 4 hours of independent study per week. Our phone lines are juiced. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your thoughts on the Kyler Murray deal and whether or not the Cardinals were contend in the NFC. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So in order to get a $230 million extension from the Arizona Cardinals, quarterback Kyler Murray had to agree to a clause in his contract that requires 4 hours of independent film study per week. Translation, the Cardinals don't think he's putting in enough work, so they're going to pay him, but they want him to do more. Usually the other way around, but hey, it's Arizona. It's their money. They're going to make the decision. He's Bart Scott. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh in for Alan Hahn. This is Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio. Your thoughts on the Kyler Murray contract situation. Did the Cardinals scare you at all this year in the NFC? Anthony in New Jersey. Anthony, we appreciate the phone call. Your thoughts on Kyler Murray?
Yeah, how's it going, fellas? First-time caller, long-time listener, a lifetime Jet fan. Thank you, Bart. I want to special thanks to Bart. I believe that this news of Kyler Murray and this clause coming out in the news, it might be actually beneficial for the Arizona Cardinals, as much as it may be embarrassing for Kyler Murray and the organization as well. Might, let a fire under his butt, let a fire under Kyler Murray and, hold him accountable. But my question to you is, even Kyler Murray being drafted by the A's in 2018, do you think that's a result of him being paid over Lamar Jackson and his, complacency in the locker room? Because he does show lack of leadership in the locker room and on the field.
No, me personally, Joe, I think that that's just who he is, right? I mean, you know, it seems it's crazy how both of the quarterbacks that's in the league out of that system has a little bit of arrogance about themselves when you think about Baker Mayfield.
No doubt.
You think about Kyler Murray. And it's like, you know, you heard some of the same things now that he's gone coming out about how immature Baker Mayfield was within that locker room, how immature he was and how hard he was to coach. And maybe it comes with being able to get early success and everything working out your way. Both were Heisman Trophy winners. Right. You know, both have was never really doubted. Right. They've been pat on the back all this time. And now when they get criticism, they can't handle it. And, you know, you pretty much he gave them a timeline to say, hey, pay me. I'm not showing up to camp. And, you know, they rewarded the behavior. He acted like a petulant child. And you rewarded the behavior. So whatever you get from here, you know, you deserve because you understand what you're getting yourself into. You didn't correct the behavior. It's like if I keep letting my child get away with stuff. But then, you know, I tell him not to do it, but then I still, you know, take him to the movies or take him on vacation. How is he going to understand it? It's consequences to your actions.
Quickly, do you think this all being out in the news and everyone criticizing him is going to light a fire under his rear end, or you think it's just going to be more of the same moving forward?
Well, you know what? I want to see how he handles, because we know that he's been short and smug with some of the reporters when they ask him questions. He knows he has to anticipate that this one is coming. He'll show me a lot of growth if he answers this one like a grown-ass man and a professional.
He's Bart Scott. I'm Joe Fornball in for Alan Hahn. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Coming up in 15 seconds, we continue with your calls here on ESPN Radio. He's Bart Scott. I'm Joe Fortenball filling in for Alan Hahn. This is Bart and Scott on E. This is, I keep saying that. This is.
We all call each other by our last names in this business.
Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. That was a quick turnaround. Thanks, boys. Appreciate that. Bart Scott, Joe Fortenball in for Alan Hahn. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. We are brought to you by Progressive Insurance. More of your calls on Kyler Murray in just a second. Bart, all teams have officially reported to training camp, all 32. For someone like you who played 12 years, I always enjoy asking this question because for some guys, this time of year is just like, oh, man, I hate camp. I hate all this. I just want to get through it. I want to start playing. Other people relish it. They absolutely love it. Where were you when it came to this time of year reporting to camp?
It was kind of fun to me, you know what I mean, because I knew I was in superior shape. I knew I was good. I didn't really take vacations. When you get that six-week break, that's actually when I turned my training up. So I felt good. I was always healthy, and I was always optimistic. I was always on a team. I can honestly say I never went into a season thinking that, man, we're going to stink this year, or we're not that good, or we're not that talented. So I always had hope that we're going to get it done. And, you know, our camp was called Camp Cream Puff for the first 7 years of my career with Brian Billick, because he allows his veterans to leave after the first day and stay at home. And, like, he, you know, he believed in staying up and not really practicing. And now the rest of the league kind of caught up. It's mandatory now. But he wasn't like the old Dave Weinsteads or even the Andy Reeds where they take your legs and they beat the crap out of you. We were always ramping up. He said, as long as you give us the physicality, we don't need to make practice, you know, tough or extremely physical with contact, as long as you're going out there knocking the hell out of people. And I don't think people that ever watched the Baltimore Ravens could ever say it was a lack of physicality because camp was easy.
No, not at all. What did you think about staying in dorms? Like, a lot of teams aren't doing that anymore.
Yeah.
They just work on location. Was that a benefit, do you think, or was that just an old, archaic, outdated way of doing things?
It's not. It's an organic way to me to force guys to come together. It creates a brotherhood because you have no distractions, right? You have none of the comforts of home. Everybody there is a lot of people that has an unfamiliarity with their surroundings, so they stay tight-knit. If they go places, they go with somebody. And those are those conversations that you have when you learn the why, not the what, like about why this guy plays, what makes him tick, why he played football, who he's playing for, right? If you learn your teammates why, you know, the result would be great because now you know how to motivate him and you know how to communicate with him. So that's really what that was all about, going away for a month, being around people, sitting down at lunch tables, and even afterwards, you know, talking about your vulnerabilities. Like, what, you know, guys, can you imagine, like, it's 90 guys there, only 53 can make it. But you got to help the guy that's maybe taking your job. You have to be transparent. You got to help coach him. You got to support him. That is a unique environment, right, where they're doing ultimately what's best for the team and not what's best for the individual, because you're trying to, you know, be a great teammate, yet this is your competition.
Outside of the work, the camaraderie and all that, hijinks-wise, who are the biggest practical jokers in these camps?
I mean, God rest his soul, but everybody knows about, you know, Tony Siragusa and what he used to do. I mean, locking Shannon Sharp in the trailer. You know, we have guys that used to order peanuts, and not peanuts that you eat, but peanuts for packing, and have trucks come and open a moonroof and fill the entire car up with those little foam balls. Could you imagine how trying to get it? I don't even know how you get all those up. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, you know, having guys' cars towed and put on hills, and like now they got to try and figure out where their car at, and it's on the hill somewhere. Or, you know, having people's tires taken off. All kind of stuff, man. It's like the wars,
stuff,
man.
Does that ever lead to fights? You got to figure some guys probably get pretty fired up about that.
Yeah, it all depends on who you're trying to fight. First of all, like, we had players who wouldn't sing. I seen Matt Stover, who's a kicker, the most thugged out dude in the history. Like, he was like, what? Clarence Moore, like 6'6". He's from L.A. I don't know what set he represents, but I know he represents one, right? And he was sitting there, and he was like, I ain't singing. And people told Stover, and Stover will look like – Matt Stover looks like your accountant. Anybody out there, Google Matt Stover, one of the like longest tender before Tucker and all that stuff, most accurate kicker, and Mike Vanderjack and stuff like that. It was Matt Stover. Played with him my first fight. He went and got three, like, 20 liters of Gatorade and baby powder, and we sitting in a meeting with carpet, and he poured both cups on his head and emptied a whole bottle of baby powder and said, "You ain't gonna sing. Your ass gonna sing, or you gonna get beat down."
And this what more do you want from me?
I want your ass to get up and entertain me. You say you're a singing group. Why don't you sing something? Five heartbeats. I got nothing but love for you, baby. That's how we roll. Thugged out, son. You know what I'm saying? Anybody get their ass beat. We had another dude that didn't want to sing, and the coach said, man, this dude tripping, man. Y'all need to check him. Like, what? This dude? We played the baptism song, Take Me to the Water. And we hog-tied his ass up. We hit him with a whole jar of atomic bomb all in his chest, his underpants, everywhere we can put it, baby powder Gatorade, and we hog-tied him to the goalpost and left his ass out there for 2.5 hours and said, bet nobody cut his ass down.
2.5 hours?
Yeah. All you got to do is check our – anybody seen the Jets' Hard Knocks? You can see it if you think I'm lying.
Ugh.
Baptizes
that. More of Kyler Murray's new contract. Is it proof of his work ethic? That's coming up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
What more do you want from me?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I was driving in this morning. Getting here like around.
Honking at people?
Nah, I started flashing people.
Whoa.
Well, not like that.
You get better
what
results.
The hell,
this and more. Wednesday morning at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.